WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Somebody is watching you. It's true. And today on The Brian Lehrer Show, public and private, a Brian Lehrer Show family meeting. Are you in favor of privacy, of nobody watching you unless you want them to be watching you? What about openness? Are you in favor of openness? Oh, you are. How about secrecy? Does that sound more sinister than privacy? Is privacy good, but secrecy bad when it comes to the data you generate in your life? Or is privacy something for you to own and secrecy something that governments and corporations put on you? What about when it comes to your teenage kids? When they post something on Facebook, is it public or is it private? Maybe they consider it public for their friends, but private from you. And what about transparency? Should government be transparent about what it's doing? Should the companies you buy things from be transparent about what they're doing with your data? Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, we will try to make sense of the increasingly complicated world of private versus public information. Who should have information about you? When you should have information about your government, your business, your teenagers? Where does the private good meet the public good? And example one is your car. I am looking for a few volunteers to call up right now and take an automotive privacy poll. Will you come out to play on this, folks? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There are no right answers. It's not a quiz. It's a poll, an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll about your privacy and your car. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We posted the main questions on Facebook last night. One, how uncomfortable are you with technology in your car that stores information about how you drive, how often you speed, whether you turn without signaling, if you ever drive without a seatbelt, etc.? This information could be used by law enforcement in the case of a car accident. Again, how uncomfortable are you with technology in your car that stores information about how you drive, how often you speed, whether you turn without signaling, if you ever drive without a seatbelt, your steering angle, all that? Another way to look at it, question two, how uncomfortable are you with technology in your car that stores information about how you drive if you could use the data about your good driving habits to lower your insurance bills? More comfortable with that? Some of the responses we got on Facebook. Frank writes, I don't mind that my car does this. It already does. So long as the data is stored securely and kept private from advertisers and a warrant is required for law enforcement and federal agencies to access it. Eben writes, I am comfortable with it. I just read Social Physics, the book, and I get a sense of what is possible and what we can build. I think the net effect of reduced privacy will be better designed systems. Privacy is desirable, but maybe serves no end in itself. But reduced privacy toward better mortality and morbidity rates, toward more efficient traffic patterns, energy efficiency, etc., I think it's worth the trade-off, writes Eben. But Rob writes on our Facebook page, just because we have the capacity to do this doesn't mean we should. We as a society are going further down an Orwellian rabbit hole. And Josh writes, fine with me, but Just because cops and insurers have improved info would not necessarily lead to more accurate enforcement and rates. So as your calls are coming in, there are some Facebook responses to the questions. And I'll tell you a story about this. Maybe you've seen it online. You know, the definition of a gaffe is when you blurt out something that's true that you didn't really want everyone to know, right? The Ford Motor Company's global marketing director, Jim Farley, committed a gaffe recently at a consumer electronics show when he said, "We know everyone who breaks the law. We know when you're doing it. We have GPS in your car, so we know what you're doing." It was a little bit of an exaggeration, but basically true. And the world reacted with outrage and fear. Farley apologized, of course, for telling the truth, but the cat was out of the bag. What the Ford executive was referring to, and the reason I asked this poll question, is that starting later this year, each new car sold in the United States will be required to have these event data recorders I've been talking about, kind of like the black box you have after an airplane crash. It'll record your speed, your rate of acceleration, when you hit the brake, steering angle, whether your seatbelt is on, and more. Your car knows a lot about what you do to it already, and it will know more, and it will be required beginning with 2015 models. And as I said, the information can potentially be used by police or insurance companies in litigation after an accident, or to give you lower rates if you volunteer to share this data with them over a period of time if they set it up. They haven't set up that system yet. And, of course, if that data indicates that you're a safe driver. So we're looking for some volunteers to call up right now and take a little further questioning in this automotive privacy poll. And why don't we start with Tim in Brooklyn. Hi, Tim. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. So I'll ask you the first question first, and then I'll go on to kind of a different way to put it. Are you comfortable with this idea, basically, of this event data recorder or the black box, if law enforcement could use it after an accident?
I think I am, actually. My first instinct is to say no, but for safety concerns, I think it could be a good thing.
Why was your first instinct to say no?
I guess I don't like authority. I don't want people to know too much about me.
Aha. Uh-huh. So new word introduced into it, authority.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an accountability or potential safety thing versus authority. Okay. Tim, actually, I'm going to leave that there. Thank you very much. So Tim's fairly comfortable starting out. Nancy in Manhattan, how about you? Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, I think that with limits, right? So just to give you an example, the first time that my car dealer told me we got a reading from your car that it's time for an oil change, I was a little spooked by that, you know.
There's your Ford Motor Company guy, right?
Yeah, and so I felt very uncomfortable, and I even addressed that with them. I think that in terms of safety, it's a good idea. I think that, you know, if your car knows if your seatbelt is on, et cetera, all the good things that revolve around safety, I'm totally comfortable with that, but I think there have to be limits. I don't want an insurance company to know my movements. I certainly don't want marketers to know my movements. So I guess it's a yes with limits answer.
And with respect to the insurance company, as I said before, you could use the data, if you're a good driver, to lower your insurance bills, would that be enough incentive for you to allow your insurance company to have access to this data?
No, I don't think they need access to that because at this point, you can do that now, right? If GEICO tells me, well, given your driving history, we can offer you a lower rate, I think they do that, and I'm pretty sure they offer that right now based on your driving record. I don't think it's necessary to know how fast I drive in order to give me a break on insurance.
What if they could give you even a bigger break? Maybe they know now you don't have any points on your license, you haven't reported any accidents to them, but now they also know, oh, you use your seatbelt 100% of the time. They can measure that. You always signal before making a turn, before your steering angle goes to 90 degrees, and then your rate might get lowered even a little more than somebody else's.
I would turn off the feature. It wouldn't be worth the extra $20.
Okay, Nancy, thank you very much. Bernadette in Little Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bernadette.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing? You have an excellent show.
Thank you so much. So you're comfortable with this requirement that's coming?
I'm very comfortable with it. You know, the children nowadays, I've gone through pulling my hair out as everybody turns 16, 17. And how many times can you tell each child, make sure your seatbelt's on, make sure you look before you go this? And, you know, it's just another way, I think, that, you know, they just have some other voice in their mind that can tell them, look, they're going to track to make sure that everything is okay, to run your insurance, to make sure you can save some money. They have a lot on their plate, too, not to miss an oil change. I think that's a great reminder in the busy world. And, you know, I've had an incident when the engine had a problem and the dealer tried to tell me, oh, you didn't come in for your oil changes. And I did get them at a gas station, but it was hard to go back and prove it all. So a little bit of extra help, I think it's fine. It's not telling you where you're eating dinner or if you had to tell a little white lie why you ran home late 20 minutes because you popped to a movie or something. But it's, you know, I think it's helpful, and it's good if you're going to get a break in insurance.
Sounds like you should call back later in the show when we're talking about parents and teens and their privacy. But let's up the ante. What about the idea that Mayor de Blasio is considering for his Vision Zero traffic safety plan, not yet a proposal but something they're considering, the black boxes in taxi cabs would transmit all that data back to a central location, and if a taxi speeds, then it would sound a warning to the passengers and turn off the meter or start charging a lower rate. You like that idea?
I like that idea too. As long as I don't have to open the door and jump out, I think it's a good idea. It teaches them a little bit more responsibility. You know, it's just everybody feels like, oh, they're watching me, they're this. But, I mean, the bottom line is if you teach responsibility and the more data you have for your personal self, to say, you know what, if everybody kind of does the right thing, watches out for their children and their cars and their companies, it can only make things safer. I mean, what are they really going to use all this extra data for? I mean, if it's going to help people in taxi cabs, if the guy's a little nuts, I think that's a good thing.
Bernadette, thank you so much. People, are you all as down with this as Bernadette is? 212-433-WNYC. Eric in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. How about you?
Hey, Brian, great show as usual.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not really comfortable with this. I think that we better use the technology to make the cars better so we don't get into much accidents. And also, I'd rather use the money to fixing the roads instead of leaving all the responsibility to the individuals.
How about this scenario? After Toyota's problem with stuck accelerator pedals, remember that?
Yeah.
Caused a number of crashes. That's when the government proposed the requirement that all cars be equipped with the event data recorders that would automatically record speed, and one of the things is acceleration rate. So considering the Toyota problem, based on that story, does that convince you more that event data recorders should be required equipment to help reveal defects in manufacturing?
Yes. I mean, in the events, right. Like I said, I mean, to make the car safer, yes, but to leave all up to the individual and how I drive and when I drive, I mean, we all have our moments. So one moment, let's say I feel a little tired, I don't drive right, they can use that against me, my insurance will go up.
But can you separate the two? Can you separate the two? Can you have a data recorder that would let you know if the pedal was sticking, not let you know, but let's say after a crash, they could tell that you were trying to brake, but the accelerator was still accelerating, but wouldn't report your failure to signal before making a left turn? Can you separate it?
Yes, of course. Of course. I'm all about safety. So if it improves the safety of the car, then obviously yes.
Then yes. Here's another one. The Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts, Tim Murray, claimed after an accident in 2011 that he was wearing his seatbelt and observing the speed limit. But the event data recorder in his car revealed that he was not wearing a seatbelt and he was going 100 miles an hour. So based on this story, should event data recorders be required in all cars to record driver behavior at the time of a crash?
Not really. I mean, I think we should have a better education and better, so then people will, you know, obviously improve their driving habits. However, at the end, it will be up to the individual. I mean, we can have all the laws you want. If I don't want to put my seatbelt, I'm not going to put it.
Eric, thank you very much. All right. He wants to slice it kind of fine there. Samantha in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Brian.
So are you comfortable with the event data recorder requirement that's going to take effect this year?
Actually, really not. And it's funny because I work in public safety. I work as a paramedic. So I'm 100% in favor of reduced pedestrians being struck by cars, reduced fatalities, reduced traffic accidents in general. But on the other hand, I feel like it's just an inherent violation of privacy.
Why?
I can't get over the idea that, you know, of not wanting everyone and everywhere to know my business.
Just as an inherent value, regardless of the public safety impact?
I think the public safety impact, there are a lot of other directions to come at it from. And I think I approve of a lot of the moves that de Blasio is coming up with for Vision Zero. I think changing speed limits, I think increasing traffic enforcement, particularly inside the five boroughs, you know, getting more cops out there watching and issuing tickets. And I think that's what's going to change people's behavior and not necessarily a little black box in their car.
Who would be harmed by this data being out there? How do you think you might be harmed by this data being collected in your car?
I think for the vast majority of people, they wouldn't be harmed. That being said, I think I also have a right to go places and not have my car track me with GPS. And I think that it's an unnecessary step that can be misused. So I think there's a potential for people to be able to access it without my authorization.
And go ahead, sorry.
I think there's also been a huge trend towards warrantless searches overall in the U.S. I don't know necessarily how individual jurisdictions would handle searches of cars, but if, for example, if an officer asks to look inside of your vehicle and you say yes, does that mean they're now allowed to plug in quickly to your black box recorder and take a look at how you've been driving?
Good question. And there's a bill in the Senate that would only allow them to do that with a warrant. And I guess they're going to debate that in Washington. How do you feel about the de Blasio taxi idea? And again, he's not proposing this, but they said this is one of the things they're considering so that the base, I guess, would know via GPS where the driver is at all times, how fast they're driving, and the passenger would actually either get a vocal warning or possibly even a lower rate on the meter for the length of time that the driver was speeding.
I think that's actually a very good idea. I think that once you step into a business modality, particularly with some of the atrocious behavior I've seen among cab drivers, and as a paramedic, I spend 40 to 56 hours a week out on the street watching how people work, you know, watching how people drive. And I've seen some just egregious traffic violations by cabs that haven't been caught or enforced.
Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't we all in general have an obligation to be transparent when we're driving on a public road?
I think there's a big difference between someone who's doing that professionally and someone who is doing that privately as a private citizen. I think if the public roads are the only way to get between A and B, then the burden that I as an individual bear to submit all of my information to my car manufacturer, the service center, and ultimately to the government by way of, you know, whatever enforcement or whatever search is sort of absurd. I think that in a more commercial sense, if you're going to be on the road that much, absolutely have GPS in the vehicle, absolutely track speeding. But I don't think for a private citizen it's A, necessary, or B, something I'm comfortable with.
Samantha, thank you so much for your call. Be safe out there.
All right. Thank you. Be safe.
And we go now. By the way, I should mention that my understanding about these black boxes or event data recorders that will be required in all or most all cars made in the United States as of the 2015 models is that they only retain the information for a short amount of time. So after it's obvious that you're not going to crash in, I don't know exactly what that time frame is, but that anything relevant to a crash could be in the box, you know, so maybe it's a few minutes, maybe it's even less than a minute, then it disappears. And it's, so it's measuring the present and retaining just the immediate past is my understanding. Phil in Roselle, you're on WNYC. Hiya, Phil.
Hiya, Phil. Good morning, Brian.
You comfortable with this?
No, I'm not. Not at all. I don't think that we should go down this slope. It's just more invasion of our privacy.
When you say privacy, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, whose business is it that how fast I'm going? You know, granted, there are speed limits, whether I'm signaling. It's just another piece of data that that can be obtained on the individual. And in terms of what they're doing, the cars record some of this information now with what they call the OBD2 system.
Actually, I think about 85% of cars on the road in the U.S. already have this. The change this year is that it's going to be required.
Yeah, it's actually all vehicles after 97 or 98 when they changed the onboard diagnostic system. So they can tell how fast you're going. But this is basically what UPS uses to track its drivers and whether they have the door closed and mm-hmm. whether they're making left turns and such. If they're going to do it, then I think they should require a warrant.
What about, collect it. How about collect it, and then in order to look at it, require a warrant because an event took place?
Well, that would be the compromise for me. I'm principled opposed to it. I don't see where it's going to be any good, where it's going to do me any good.
How do you feel about the taxis? Differently than for private drivers, yes, because it's a commercial operation?
Taxis and commercial vehicles that use our roads to engage in their business should be required to behave differently.
Uh-huh. So what about this? And it sounds like you would want road safety. You're a Vision Zero fan, perhaps, that idea?
Yes, I am.
So what if everyone's black box data was routinely being transmitted to some city driver database? They're not proposing this, let me be clear, but the technology seems to allow it. So hypothetically, if everyone's black box data was routinely being transmitted to some city driver database and they could see that certain cars routinely speed in certain locations or certain cars routinely make left turns without signaling or routinely have passengers without seatbelts on or a driver without seatbelts, don't you hate those people? If knowing those things led to the police contacting those unsafe drivers to warn them or ticket them for repeated offenses, would that be a Vision Zero safety measure you would support as a preventive?
I wouldn't support it. Again, you know, it's a question of privacy. I'm not comfortable with authority, government, having that much information on me or on other people. It's a slippery slope again.
Phil, thank you so much. And Judy in East Hanover, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi, good morning.
What are you thinking as you hear all this?
Well, I'm thinking that I would very much like to be comfortable with this, you know, with this new requirement because there are so many benefits that can come out of it. But I think with a track record of trust that the government and big business has at this point, I would definitely, if I had a vote in it, say no, because the abuses are way too many for me to be comfortable with it, and that's a shame.
And do you feel differently about the taxi requirement, as some of the other callers who are skeptical did?
You know, I do, but I think I would have to give it more detailed thought. I think because they are dealing with public safety, you know, they're taking on that responsibility by taking someone in their cab, I would be more open to considering it. But, you know, I think there are some abuses that can happen with that, too. So I would really have to give it more thought.
Judy, thank you very much. And Mike in Brooklyn, I think you're going to be our last caller on this. Mike, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, so I am definitely in support of the the black box, and I'm not surprised to hear that so many people aren't in support of it, because I feel like every time I'm walking to work, there's someone speeding or somebody, you know, rushing through a stop sign. So
the principle behind it, in general, should we have an obligation to be transparent or also a right to be private about our driving?
Repeat that again?
Well, when you're driving on a public road, is the way you operate your vehicle public or private?
Oh, I think it's public. Not only is it, I mean, you're on a public road, but you're also operating a machine that I feel like takes greater skill than people realize. And so if you're not qualified or would rather not follow the laws that are passed, then you shouldn't have the right to operate this machine on a public road.
Right. And what about the distrust of authority to misuse the information, the government, the insurance companies, that we've heard from the skeptics in this segment? Does that prospect bother you?
Well, I guess in some ways it does, because, you could say that they would pass laws to restrict the use of the data, but we all know that information is used beyond our knowledge.
So you're not entirely. You'd have some reservations.
I have some reservations.
Even though you'd come down,
yes. Some things to work out.
And then would you go all the way? I'm curious to my ultimate scenario there, which is, what if everyone's black box data was routinely being transmitted to some city driver database? As I was saying before, that hypothetically, if everyone's data was routinely being transmitted, they could see that certain cars routinely speed in certain locations, certain cars routinely make turns without signaling, routinely have passengers without seatbelts. And if they could see that thing at your local police precinct, let's say that person was you, and then they contacted you just based on the black box data and either gave you a ticket or a warning, would you be comfortable with that?
Well, I wonder if there's a way to encrypt it so that basically the data is deleted if you're not doing anything illegal. But then if you are,
as a method of them finding out if you're doing something illegal, you would be okay with that.
Yeah,
Mike, thank you very much. And thank you all for your calls on this. A great way to start our Brian Lehrer Show family meeting, public and private. The U.S. Senate, by the way, sufficiently alarmed by the Ford guy's remark that they know everyone who's breaking the law, and by the whole thing, that they are now considering a bill in the Senate to make all that black box information that's going to be required by the federal government the property of the driver. It's called the Driver Privacy Act, and would require that law enforcement have a warrant to get the data. So the debate about privacy and your car in the United States is just getting underway as the technology progresses. Up next, the Brian Lehrer Show family meeting on privacy continues with example number two, privacy and your health. Ever hear of a social pulse meter? Stay tuned.